thanks for tuning in to the Undercut's review of the 2024 Singapore Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risks all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, so we are back, guys, for the 2024 Singapore Grand Prix review. Obviously, a lot of the news coming into the weekend was that this was Danny's last shot to show that he should stay in the seat. It seemed like that's really all they were talking about throughout all the practice sessions and all of the Sky Sports like talk show stuff. It was just all about that.
Yeah, I didn't really see a whole lot in the build up, but then after the race, it all seemed very final. It was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Like someone had told Sky, but they hadn't told Daniel. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's a shame. I mean, before we get into the whole race, it's a good time to talk about one of our favorite drivers, right? Danny Ric is he's been really good, and he's a character.
Until the last lap, he was one of my favorite drivers.
But a personality. He's not like monosyllabic, and he's not like a sanitized. Automaton like some of the younger drivers that kind of come through and they're just a bit too polished. He kind of says what he thinks and he's, just a blunt Aussie guy. And I like that. And it's a shame that he's looking like he's out. I mean, but to be honest, I mean, his performances haven't been where they needed to be. He came in to try and get that Red Bull seat. For some reason, he's not been as good as Yuki. And Checo's not been as good as Yuki or as Daniel. And Daniel's the one to make way. Not really fair.
Just the way it goes. But I mean, that's where you get compared against your teammate first, right? That's usually where the first comparison comes. And this seems to, after one season of no driver changes in the lineups at all between that last year and this year, it seems that this year it's all changed for everybody. I guess in Danny Ric's case, back to a Liam Lawson, right, who drove a few races last year and did quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what Liam does over the rest of the season relative to Yuki. And I don't know. See how he
goes. Is it just a chance to get him in the car so he can get some more experience? And
well, because they haven't announced who's going to be in that second.
Not exactly.
Car next year. So in some ways, if I was Liam Lawson, I would have preferred that
the Red Bull
that Daniel stay, because then you get a full season. If he goes in and he's disappointing, then he ruins both his Red Bull chances and his chances.
It's a ruthless sport, right? Unless the ink, even if the ink is dry on the paper, sometimes it doesn't, they can change their minds. But you don't really turn down a seat, do you, when it's
no.
offered to you? You might want slightly better circumstances. And
if he comes in and scores in every single race, then who knows, maybe he'll be in the Red Bull seat at the start of next season.
Most of the changes that have been done so far from a driver basis have all been improvements, right? Colapinto has certainly come in and been an improvement. Maybe Liam Lawson will be the same. Behrmann, when he's come in, has done good work.
That's right. So he's done good things last year, Liam Lawson, that is. So it's good that he's getting a crack. But yeah, I mean, to your point, Jason, if he comes in and he wipes the floor with Yuki just from not having sat in the car all year, who knows?
But I guess we should, since we already talked about most of it, obviously Danny's weekend started off poorly. I think there was one crash during free practice. I think George might have crashed in FP2. Obviously, up until this race, there had been a 100% safety car or there's been a race in 100 or safety car in 100% of the Singapore Grand Prix coming in. And then coming into qualifying, obviously Danny was out in Q1, and even going into the race, like you said, Nick, I think Martin Brundle said in the pre-race show, like, it was pretty much confirmed to him that it was decided before the race even started. Having the poor qualifying and just poor practices all weekend, Danny will be out. But continuing with the bad form for Red Bull, Checo also not able to get out of Q2 after finally having a really good qualifying session last race weekend and out qualifying Max. And then here he is again, out in Q2.
Yeah, I mean, because it's, and we're all talking about Daniel Ricciardo, but like, this is the first time we've ever really talked about Daniel Ricciardo really not being very good. We talk about Checo not being very good most weeks. In fact, every week except last week. Yeah. And even then, it was that he did a really good job to get to a B in the contention, and then he crashed into Sainz, or vice versa, depending on your point of view. So, back to old, right? And yeah, to what we were talking about with Liam. If Liam comes in and he does well, because I still can't believe that, you know, Yuki's put in great work all year, the last 2 years. Every year, it seems like he's gotten better and better, and he's still out of the conversation. It's really, I don't know. It's starting to feel unfair.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. I don't know why they won't. Just give him the shot.
Give him a shot.
He's definitely proven that at least he deserves that chance. But also, both of the Williams were out in Q2, but still pretty good qualifying spots for them, P11 and P12. It just seems like a whole different team now that Franco is in there and Logan is out. That, you know, a P11 and a P12 starting place is disappointing for them. So that's a big.
Yeah. Is it right change? That, did you hear that Albon had upgrades on his car, but Colapinto didn't? Is that right?
I didn't hear that one.
No? Okay, maybe I'm mixing up my teams, but yeah, good performance by both of them. Yeah, that team's going in the right direction.
Yeah. And then we saw one moment where Carlos spun out in the background. I don't remember who it was who was coming around the corner before him, but we see Carlos spin out and crash at the start of his lap. I think that was Q3 where this happened.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, the slowest crash ever. Like, he sort of...
Well, I mean, he got a big old slide. And, well, because he'd slowed down to let...
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe it was Lando, or maybe it was someone else. I can't remember. But it let someone by. And then, I don't know, he just didn't hook it up going into that final corner. And he was like zigging and zagging and...
We're not Formula One drivers, but maybe there was a combination of the slow speed, the tire temperature, the downforce is obviously going to be different. It's all tied to the speed, and maybe he tried to do something that just wasn't. The car just couldn't hang on, right? And it would flip. The back end just went around.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same spot that that Lance Stroll had a big shunt last year. And that was in quali. He didn't even compete in the race after that, I think, because he was pretty banged up. Did he compete?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty quick final corner. And if you get it wrong, you can be backwards into the barriers pretty quickly.
Yeah. So no time for Carlos.
No.
And then that just meant everybody just had one shot at a lap, basically, right? There was no time to put in two laps.
Yeah, so when it restarted with like 8 minutes left, everyone was just kind of sitting in the garage for like 3 or 4 minutes, because everyone was just going to go out with 3.5 to 4 minutes left to just do that one run. And there was a lot of track evolution, so the track was getting faster and faster in each of the sessions. So you didn't want to be just going out and, you know, setting a lap early, because you'd have tumbled down the timesheets because everyone else went out and put in their qualifying laps.
Yeah. And it looked like Carlos might be able to get it out because, like you had said, he had gone in there so slowly, but his back left tire was pretty messed up. So there was definitely no coming out of there. And then the red flag came out. So it was irrelevant. But Max had put in a provisional pole lap, I guess, right? Max was after Carlos. So he had like put it in right as Carlos was crashing. And I guess he had just passed the waving double yellows. So his lap ended up getting deleted, which was unfortunate for him. But like you said, it meant that everyone was going to have one lap to try and make it stick. I think Oscar had put in one lap. Maybe it was Oscar who was right before him that was able to put in the time.
Could have been, yeah. It was, yeah.
Yeah. So if there had been another crash before everyone was able to put it in the lap, then Oscar would have taken it. But in the end, Lando was able to take the fifth hole of the season for him and the sixth of his career, with Max lining up next to him. And both their Mercedes right behind them. I mean, I would say the biggest shock would have to be the Ferraris. They were looking pretty fast on it during the practice sessions, but Charles's last lap, which wasn't fantastic. I think it was ultimately P6 or P7, but that got deleted. So yeah. He and Carlos both started in P9 and P10.
Yeah, I don't know what was happening with the Ferraris. I thought that they were going to be, I mean, obviously Carlos Sainz won the race last year. And they were good in Monza, and that was only two races ago. They were really good in Baku. I thought that it was going to be game on for Ferrari this weekend. But by qualifying, it wasn't looking that way, right, Martin?
Yeah. No, it's, I don't know what's going on with them. And I thought this was supposed to be like Red Bull's worst circuit, you know, where Max couldn't get anything going and suddenly he showed up.
It was really, when you look at where they were, Red Bull, every session, they just dialed it in a little bit better and a little bit better. Because in practice, he said it was like driving a Rolls Royce, you know, just like this big, soft ride around the corner. You turn the wheel and it finally turns. But then with each session, he got it dialed in and dialed in. And then it's like, oh man, we all talk about it being a bogey circuit for Red Bull, but is it really? Do they really do that? He ended up in P2.
Yeah, exactly. But with Lando on pole, he's got that bogey on his back, right? That he's been on pole six times, but he can't lead out the first lap.
Yeah.
You know, that was the question going in. Although
Well,
I was just going to say, on this circuit, the it's so tight, right? Anything can happen on the first corners. It's no space at all if people get crazy.
Yeah, and it's funny how on the TV they're trying to build up the tension. Like they were listening into Lando's practice starts on the outlaps, and he's, you're using a bit too much throttle there, Lando. And he was like, that's kind of worrying. And all of this. And it's like, stop it. You're just trying to build up the suspense. Just like with Ted Kravitz when Lance Stroll's car is there on jacks and there's no front end on it because they're replacing the whole braking system with about 10 minutes to go. And they go, oh, are they going to be good? Are they gonna? And then I forget the mechanic's name that either came over and he asked about it. And he's like, oh yeah, we're fine. Don't worry about it. These are good guys.
Okay.
Nothing to worry about whatsoever. And then they didn't go back to him again. And of course, when all the mechanics left the grid, Stroll's car was not in pieces. It was all put back together again, like Humpty Dumpty. Yeah. And off they went. Unlike Humpty Dumpty.
Yes, there we go. Yeah. But the other surprises, I guess, Nico, Alonso, and Yuki qualifying in P6 through P8. So really great from them and really salt in the wounds for Danny, I guess, with him getting out in Q1 and Yuki qualifying in P8.
Really, I mean, Hülkenberg doing his, you know, qualifying right up there again.
Yeah.
You know, it's showing that it's really time for K-Mag to go. I mean, I like him. I liked some of the 007 memes, the one that I sent you guys. It's like, what was it? Zero penalty points, zero fucks given, seven races to go. all the memes were about just kind of taking people out. But when you look at what Behrmann did last week and how he gave Hülkenberg a real run for his money, you kind of realize that, you know, Magnussen's had a good run. He had a good second coming, but Hülkenberg's been showing him up, and really it's time for K-Mag to go off into the sunset.
Yeah. Back to endurance racing for him, I guess. And can't remember what else he was doing. IndyCar maybe, but yeah, I agree. Behrmann will be a nice change of pace from them, and that is really it for qualifying. But like you said, Lance's car was almost taken apart, and they were being super dramatic about it, and nothing ended up coming of that. I guess it was Carlos's 200th Grand Prix and Lewis's 350th.
350, yeah. Amazing.
I'm surprised that it's honestly that close between the two of them, because Carlos seems so much younger than Lewis, but he's been on the grid for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more races in a season now than there were in Lewis's first few. But it does feel like Carlos hasn't been around half as long as Lewis. It feels like Lewis has been around way longer than that. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Fernando's on in terms of race count at the moment, but he's going to maybe clear 400. He must be going to clear 400.
Yeah.
I remember when Rubens Barrichello cleared 300 and everyone was like, wow, that's a lot of races. But there were just two of the stats that were going across the bottom of the screen. I don't know who was doing F1 stats this weekend, but at one point they said it's the Singapore, you know, Singapore has been hosting a Grand Prix since 2018. It's like they're only a decade out.
Is that true?
So, yeah, 2008 was when the first one was. Yeah, and they put 2018 because it was 15 years.
Yeah,
Singapore Grand Prix. So I don't know what the stat person, well, the person with keying in the stats was doing, but there are a couple of other ones that I noticed as well. But I'm just
Fernando is dork. Five starts away from 400. Wow!
Oh.
So he's gonna clear 400 this year.
Wow! Yeah,
amazing.
He's actually got 398 entries, but I guess he didn't make it on the grid for five of those.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because back in the day, they used to have more teams than people that started the races, right?
That was certainly true a long time ago. I don't remember that in sort of Fernando Alonso era, but maybe. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they used to have the 109%.
Yeah,
107. Well, they used to have the 109, whatever it was, yeah. Yeah. And he did start with Minardi. So maybe there were a couple of races that first season where the Minardi didn't get in there.
So his 400th race will be Qatar, Vegas? Then.
Qatar
or Vegas, one of those two, yeah.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's COOPSF1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
Lewis and Danny started on soft tires. Kevin, Lance, Bottas, and Joe from the back started on mediums or on hards, and then everyone else started on mediums. And then on the start, finally, Lando is able to have a good jump and easily keep the lead through turn one and hold it through the lap. I mean, finally.
Fine. Let's give you a moment, Jason. How long have you been waiting to say that?
I mean, five times, I guess, right? Yeah. Five times. So, yeah, that was great. Unfortunately, Oscar didn't have the most fantastic start. He was trying to get by. I think it was George was the Mercedes he was trying to get by and ended up losing a place to Nico, but was able to get it back before the end of the lap. But really the craziest moment on lap one was Franco Colapinto late braking like crazy on the inside. And making up three places, pissing off Albon, but I thought it seemed perfectly fair to me.
It was a great move. I watched it on my Twitter feed. I didn't see it at the time, but I did see Albon come on the radio going, "Fucking hell, Franco, what are you doing?"
But it was amazing. And I think he was ended up sitting P9 after that. So. Really, really great from Franco. You know, if that was Logan, that would have ended in an accident. So
that would have ended in seven Logan. Cars in the barriers.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Logan wouldn't have started in 9th, 10th place. That's you know true. That.
The point is moot.
Yeah. He wouldn't have even had the opportunity. But yeah, super impressive from him. Let's see, and Lando was already out of DRS range from Max on lap 3, but Max was doing a pretty good job staying around, you know, 1.5 seconds, 2 seconds for quite a while. Let's see, and then Lando just started pumping in fastest laps. I think Max took one at some point in there, but really by lap 9, Lando is starting to pull away already. He's got a 3-second lead, and you hear his engineer say that they want him to try and pull a gap of around 5 seconds in the mid-teens, and then he just all of a sudden starts pumping in second-a-lap faster laps than Max.
He did it by lap the next 11 or 12, laps. You know?
It was just lap after lap.
They said 5 seconds by the mid-teens. By 13, it was 6 seconds.
So he obviously was not pushing. And you heard him say on the radio, like, how much are you pushing, I guess, out of 10? And he said a 6. And he's still pulling that much away. So the McLaren was a rocket ship in the front. Carlos ended up coming into pit on lap 14. He was really the first of the...
Yeah, very early.
He wasn't really one of the leading guys, right? He had fallen back 3 or 4 spots on the first lap. Which was
like super, like that was going to be a super long, I mean, assuming a one stopper,
sure,
like super long. I mean, he's stopping even before Hamilton, who was out there on soft,
who was on soft, and soft was, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. No. You had to, I mean, they put softs on to try and get past Max into the first corner. But it's only 170 meters down to the first corner. It's one of the shorter runs. Like, Baku short, this is short. I mean, I guess Monaco is pretty short too. It's a really tough ask to get it ahead. So why would you sacrifice the whole race by putting someone on softs like that?
Yeah.
But yeah. Sainz pitted from mediums before they did on the soft. So it was kind of, that was a little bit of an odd call.
Well, I think it was because Albon had pit before that, and I guess after they had both fallen back a few spots, so he was just trying to cover off the undercut, which they had said had like a 2-second advantage per lap. So I guess he just didn't want to get behind him. And then Oscar starts gaining on George. He's got under a 2-second gap at lap 15. And then Albon all of a sudden is going really slowly and ultimately comes in to retire. I didn't hear what was wrong with the car.
A cooling issue apparently with the power unit. So
okay.
Whether they were possibly a piece of trash got stuck in somewhere and was stopping airflow.
It's Singapore, no trash. Must have been a visor ripoff. Gone into an airbox. There's no garbage in Singapore. Or a lizard, maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, cooling issue and car was going to overheat. I mean, it was, we all know it was brutally hot there for the drivers. So I guess the cars can suffer too. So yeah, that was too bad for Albon.
Yeah. Have you seen all the memes of the lizard when the guys were trying to?
Yeah. With the time, a little timing, putting in its fastest sectors. He has wet tires on, apparently, I think.
Yeah, that was hilarious. But yeah, Lando at this point, lap 17, now has an 11.5 second lead. to Max.
There wasn't a race going on at the front, really, was there?
No.
No, I mean, this was just lap after lap, just pulling away.
Yeah.
Like Max used to do.
Like Max, I mean, you just took the words right out of my mouth, yeah. Max used to.
We've seen Max do that so many times, but it's nice to see Lando doing it. At least for me, it was nice to see Lando doing that. Let's see. I guess Lewis was the first of the top 10 to come into pit. Obviously, he started on soft tires, so he came onto hards and was very far back.
He was not. He was not happy about that call.
No, no.
I mean, he said, "Are we the first to pit?" And they're like, "Well, we're one of the first." I mean, they're right, technically. Three other people had pit before him, but
because the thing is, though, it's only ever a one stop in Singapore because it's a 28-second pit delta. Because to get into the pits, you've got to take that really tight entry, and they actually showed Carlos and Lewis going into the pits because it's really tight to go in there. It's like almost a 90-degree corner, which is only maybe a meter, not even a meter wider than the car itself. So whereas everyone else is flying around that last corner, you've got to brake really hard to get very slow entrance into the pit lane. And it's one of only two or three 60 kilometers per hour pit lane speed limits. It's one of the only 60 kilometer per hour pit lane speed limits on the calendar. So not only are you getting really sacrificed on the last corner, you can only go 60K. So whereas normally we're seeing a 20-ish second pit stop delta, here it's 28. There's no way that it's ever going to be anything other than a one stopper unless there's rain involved. So which is why putting someone on a soft tire is even more inexplicable. Because the soft is never going to be a race tire. It's only really good for qualifying. They were just kind of banking on Lewis, gambling on Lewis being able to get past Max and hold everyone else up, which I think Lando would have thought was amazing. But it was just a big gamble with a very high downside. And after his pit stop, Lewis was out in, I don't even know where he was in the field. A lot of people.
He's 13, so he dropped 10 spots. When he came out, he was able to pass Kevin fairly quickly after that and up into P12, but still not where he wants to be at that time. But Oscar also was now in DRS range of George, but ultimately he wasn't able to make a move here and he ended up falling back a little bit. So nothing else really happening there. Lando's still flying almost a 17 second lead now. Essentially he's just hoping for a safety car not to ruin anything at the moment. Then Lewis is already complaining about the hard tires going off on lap 23.
And he wasn't the first one to start saying how the hard tire was not good. Because who was K-Mag on the hard tire? I mean, someone started on the hard tire, right?
Yeah, some of the guys lower down, like,
and they were saying this. Yeah, and they were
Magnussen, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was Magnussen who was coming over saying, yeah, this hard tire is really not great. And then Lewis came on, and Lewis is pretty good on his tires. So if he was relatively quickly coming on and saying that his hard tires were not really great, that meant that the hard was not amazing. So when you saw the pit stop window graphic, it was saying pit stop window for the medium tire runners was lap 21 to 27. But I think based on what the teams were hearing through the radio about how poor the hard tire was, everyone was extending. So I don't think we really got anyone really pitting from the mediums until well into the late 20s.
And then we hear Lando say that he might have taken some front wing damage. He had a couple of very close moments with the walls while very far ahead in the lead of the race, making me very nervous.
Yeah, that one's at turn 14 or so, where he's like locked up, full right lock. And
yeah.
Did you see the bit in the cool down room afterwards? I won't say who was in the cool down room because I don't want to give it to A for everyone. But everyone that was on the screen, and everyone was like, it was so close. I mean, did he touch? Did he not touch? We don't really know. We think it touched, but it didn't do any damage.
Just brushed the plastic. Yeah. On the outside, but yeah, just a momentary lapse in concentration, I guess.
He was lucky that it was so cushioned at that moment. Like, he was able to touch it and it just gave a little bit of give and didn't damage it. But yeah, that was close to being race ending for him, really, or having to back out of the wall and go back to the pits and change his front wing. He was very close to that. Yeah. But I guess
might have been possible if he had damaged his front wing and like ripped the end plate off, but he was still going forward. He probably had just enough time to get back to the pits, actually change his front wing and get back out ahead of Max. He was that far ahead potentially.
Yeah, and it was late in the lap. You know, from there, really, you go did the blast down. You don't have to go out in front of that grandstand that you then turn underneath that they took away last year. It's really just one shot down to the last chicane, and then you're at the pit entrance. Yeah. So I think, even if it had taken it off completely, it would have cost him some time.
As long as the car was still drivable and it was just sort of aerodynamic issues. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just then how long's the pit stop to change it? Yeah, you know, how much longer does it take? And maybe it's another 6 or 7 seconds to change your front wing. So, but it stayed on. It was good.
Yeah,
and all these guys in the lead, they're all just staying out as long as they can, right? Assuming that there's going to be possibly a safety car at some point, as there always is in Singapore. 100% of the time, there's been a safety car at this race. Yeah. So even though people were changing their tires and coming out on the hards and are driving faster, the other guys are still just waiting to see who blinks first.
Yeah, and I was thinking that last year, I thought the only safety car came out right at the end for George, but apparently there was one earlier as well, because they said the longest it's ever gone is like 35 laps or something like that before a safety car.
Right. So
it's probably Logan.
Latifi or Logan.
Latifi. Come on, go Tiffy.
Yeah.
They were just, but
Norris was doing what Verstappen had done so many times, right? He was out in the lead. He had a massive cushion. Obviously, he didn't need the brain lapse in concentration that he nearly took off his front wing. But apart from that, you know, he was doing everything right. So he didn't have to do anything. He just had to react to what everybody else was doing.
Yeah. And Max ended up coming into pit, I guess, right as they were hearing that Lando potentially hurt his front wing. He jumped into the pits and ended up coming out right behind Charles. And obviously, I was hoping Charles was going to hold him up for a little bit, but he did not. And Max was able to get right by him again.
I mean, the medium tires at this point were not good, I think. And brand new rubber, doesn't matter what compound it is, I don't think you weren't going to hold anybody up.
No. And then Lando ended up responding, and obviously, like we said, there wasn't any damage, so they did not have to change the front wing, and came out with a 20-second lead over Max coming out of the pit. So,
was that when Max was complaining when he came out and he was behind Leclerc? Did he think that Leclerc had already done a pit stop and that
he thought he'd undercut him? Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
It's like, what the? Guys, come on. How can you then get undercut like that? It's like, he hasn't pitted yet.
Yes. Yeah. You're effectively 20 seconds down the road compared to him. 28 seconds down the road, yeah.
Yeah. But Oscar is the only guy really in the front runners that is still out, just hoping for a safety car at this point. I mean, he's been way undercut by the Mercedes. So, hoping for the inevitable safety car. George tries to make a move on Charles, who still has not pit yet, but Charles closes the door on him, and George ends up having to take the escape road and try and make the move later on. But he finally comes in at the end of that lap for his first stop and stays ahead of Nico. So that was good for him, but he would have to pass Alonso again to get some more points. And then you hear Oscar say that it is really the end of his tire limit. And they end up, it took a few more laps. He stayed out, but on lap 40, Oscar finally comes into pit, has a really good stop, and comes out in P5 right behind Lewis, and had an 22 lap advantage.
Yeah.
On tire age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite the delta.
Yeah.
For a one stopper.
So he is just going to try and chase him down. He gets by Lewis by the end of that lap, though, and back up into P4. And we'll want to catch George quickly, obviously. Lap 45, Oscar now is back in DRS range. And then ultimately is able to take P3 from George, going around the outside of turn 7. Really nice move from him, but like we said, on still much fresher tires than George also. And he's got 18 seconds to try and catch up to Max with 17 laps to go, which was obviously a pretty big ask. Right, and then we see Lando hit the wall again.
Yeah, in the same spot that George went out last year. Although George was following Lando last year, and Lando clipped that same thing and carried on just exactly the same as he did this time. He just didn't have George following him behind this time to stack it into that a little bit harder and retire from the race. But yeah, that at this point, it's like, why is he using all the track? At this point, his lead was probably like 28 seconds. He had a full pit stop. And it's like, guy, just don't use the whole track. Just, you've got plenty of time. Don't ease off. Don't do a Senna in Monaco and relax so much that you bin it. But just don't go to the white lines. Please, just
don't crash.
Keep it going.
But then Lando puts in the fastest lap of the race on, 20 lap old tires, 15 lap old tires, which was crazy. Charles caught up to Lewis now on lap 50. And he is able to easily get by him. Lewis practically just let him go. I mean, he was on so old medium tires at this point, and Charles is up into P5. And then Kevin, with a moment that it looked like he didn't even touch the wall nearly as hard as Lando, although on second look, it was still, a pretty hard hit. But he ended up getting a punctured tire from hitting a wall very, very similar to how Lando did. So unfortunate for Kevin, but showing how lucky Lando was in this race. And they start talking about if Lando will come into pit again with that free stop to try and get that fastest lap point.
But it was only just, like I said, only just a free pit stop. If anything went wrong, Max would have been ahead. So it just was not worth it. I mean, what were you going to do? You're going to bring him in to put soft tires on so he can go for the fastest lap of the race, and then he clips a wall and he's out. And then you're not just losing the seven points or 8 points with the fastest lap. You're losing 25 points.
Yeah.
So
isn't that what Charles Leclerc did a few years ago? He came in, tried to change his tires and binned it. Like, they had a bad stop, and then he binned it on the lap or something. It was a disaster.
Yeah. Max has done it successfully a bunch, though.
Yeah, he does it. Yeah, they try and stop Max from doing it, don't they?
Yeah.
Red Bull, they're like, Max, when he's like 30 seconds ahead with five laps to go, starts asking, who's got the fastest lap? And they won't tell him.
Yeah, but which is fine when there are runoff areas. I'm okay with it when there's runoff areas. When there are walls, it's like just see it home.
Yeah. And we saw Kevin take the fastest lap, but he had track limits, so they ended up taking it away from him.
Yeah.
But then he ends up coming in to retire just a few laps after that, and then obnoxiously, Danny comes in to pit on the second to last lap to take the fastest lap point from Lando in last place on the track.
So let's put the political spin on this, right? So on one side you're going to have the romantic, emotional Danny Rick's last Grand Prix out with a bang. Let's get the fastest lap, show them that the honey badger still got it, you know, blah blah blah. And then on the other side you're going to have, and I think Zach Brown has already started complaining about this, is that we're basically fighting against two teams, and that, you know, Red Bull can just put the call in to VCarb and say, all right, you've got nothing to lose.
Whatever.
Put on some new boots and go and take away that point, because we're worried, right? Because we're worried that Lando's a real threat and every point counts. So choose your own adventure on which side of the coin you're on. Jason, we know which side you're on. I mean, Danny said like he was happy to get it for Max.
Yeah, but it is to be competing against four drivers rather than two.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Daniel Ricciardo, fastest lap. I didn't put that in my Coupes F1 picks.
Not many people did.
And he ultimately somehow got driver of the day.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he obnoxiously got driver of the day.
That was a sentimental vote. That was a sentimental vote. But
for cheating?
Yes, though. No, but they put it up on the thing, and it was like Lando was like well in the lead of driver of the day, and then it was maybe Max. And then on 11% was Daniel Ricciardo, and people thought, oh, yeah, we can vote for Daniel Ricciardo, because everyone's been saying on the TV that it's his last race, so let's all throw him a bit of, you know, the heart-shaped emoji.
Participation driver of the day.
I mean, the driver of the day is always emotional, isn't it? I mean, Lando's won it a million times. You know, Max has won it like once. But it's always, the F1...
It's a popularity contest,
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't really mean it. It's a bit meaningless now.
No, but... and I did see in the pen afterwards, Daniel Ricciardo says, "Yeah, normally no one really pays attention to driver of the day, but in this case,
yeah, exactly. Unless you win it,
yeah.
But I mean, they're all doing the maths, right? The maths said that." If Lando wins all the races and gets all the fastest laps, he'll be tied with Max for the last race. But now he's 1 point short, the math say, if that's what happens. Yeah. But we all know that's not what is going to happen anyway.
No. Max is going to crash any day now.
I mean, yeah, cars don't fail anymore, and Max doesn't really crash. And if I was a betting man, which I am, I would have bet that this race was the one where Lando could make up big gains, right? Historically, that Max hasn't performed well, and Lando could win and Max could come sixth or eighth or something like that, and take a big chunk. But it didn't happen. So now we move on.
I blame the Ferraris.
Yeah, the Ferraris
they should have been up there.
Couldn't get anything going.
The Astri should have been up there. He had the same car as Lando. He should have been better.
Right,
he should have crashed into Max is what he should have done.
Piastri and Lando haven't quite sort of hooked it up that they can work together. If they are together, we end up with, you know, Piastri overtaking Lando and messing it all up. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But
back-to-back wins for McLaren, which is pretty great.
I mean, McLaren is just the team. They're just absolutely dominating right now, right? They are the team. They've got it all sorted out.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking at them.
Yeah, I mean, Lando was able to obviously get gained 7 points on Max, not 8. So he's all 52 points down now with, what is it, six or seven races
six more
to go.
After this
six
one?
More yeah. to go.
He ended up back to my 007 meme.
No, yeah. right.
I mean, there's a big gap now until the next race.
It's like 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, it's not until the end of October, 20th of October. So
mini break.
It's like a mini break. Are the teams working on even more upgrades for the car, or is it getting to the part of the season where they're looking at next year's car already? Or
apparently, no. I think it has a big upgrade coming.
Yeah, this is going to be where the last big upgrade comes, because they're in Asia and they're coming back through Europe and then they're heading out to the US.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean,
they can stop off and get stuff and ship it all and send it, and they got plenty of time to get all the parts out. After they do Austin, Mexico City, Vegas.
Brazil
and Vegas. Yeah. Then they just go straight to Qatar after that. So there's not really time. And then you're not going to introduce upgrades for the last two races.
No. Unless... It's like a triple. Yeah. It's like a triple header next, I think.
Yeah.
It's the 20th of October for the US Grand Prix, then the 27th, a week later, for the Mexican. And then the 3rd of November is the Brazilian. So it's like 3 weekends in a row.
Yeah.
And then similarly, at the end of the season,
races too.
Yeah. Vegas, then a week later, Qatar, and then a week later, Abu Dhabi. So like we got two triple headers.
Wow.
Yeah. To finish it up.
Yeah. So winners on the day, obviously you're going to put McLaren there. They made up crazy points in the constructors.
Yeah. Solidified that nicely, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean,
they had 20 point lead or so coming in, right?
Yeah, now it's
60 50, points,
40,
50. Oh, yeah.
So yeah, that's good. And like we said, 51 points now in the Drivers' Championship. It's a long shot, but it's possible.
It's absolutely possible.
I mean, you kind of have to
one DNF, one DNF for Max, and that's a big swing.
Yeah, I mean, Lando's got to become Mr. Consistent, which he's showing that he can do it, but it's not going to go down. It's not going to be first and second all the way out. There's going to be some twists and turns to this tale. Yeah, I hope for our sake that the maths works out for quite a few more races, but
yeah,
a win or two for Max and it will shut the door pretty quickly. Yeah.
But we've seen, I mean, in 2021, in that crazy season, it was looking like Lewis was out of it with four races to go and ended up winning 3 races in a row, and they were tied on the last race. So we still have lots to come. Charles, ultimately, I mean, from where he started, finishing in P5 is a pretty impressive race at this track. Really, really great from him. And although, I mean, Nico finishing in the points, holding people up.
yeah, he did that for sure.
Just making that car as wide as possible. And although Franco just finished outside of the points, he was better than Albon most of the weekend, which is no small feat.
Yeah, no, and it took a lot out of him, he said at the end of the race. I think a lot of the drivers were really right on the edge. Russell was like stumbling around. I think even some of the drivers got excused from post-race interviews because they were so like close to passing out.
Yeah, Lando in the interviews with David Coulthard at the end, he's like, I'm feeling a little bit dizzy right now, but I'm sure I'll probably be okay. And then DC just tipped like a jug of water over his head.
Yeah. DC still feels like he's like part of the grid, you know?
Yeah. And he's still part of the Red Bull family, I think. I think he still does demo events and things.
Interesting.
But you did bring up 2021 saying how Lewis was so far back with a few races left. Obviously, that was the year when Red Bull had their flexible wings that got where they got tapped on the shoulder by the FAA, and it opened the door for Max for Lewis to come back at the end of the season. McLaren this last week, well, the last few days, with their rear wing, we've not talked about that, have we? The rear wing that had the just the corners of the DRS flap just kind of popping up a little bit when the DRS wasn't activated, and they proactively, I love how it was like they proactively told the FIA we'll not use that anymore, despite the fact that it was only going to be used in, that wing was only going to be used in Vegas because of that long strip, that long run down the strip. So they'll just have to maybe sacrifice a little bit of the Las Vegas pace for that. But
that doesn't seem like that's the only thing that's making the difference, though, between McLaren and the rest of the field.
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't.
Yeah. They didn't have it for this race, right? And they did okay.
They did okay.
But yeah, losers, obviously the top loser, unfortunately, is Danny, but we've,
I hope he goes out. He seems to be going out with a smile on his face. Like, you know, you can't always write your own exit. Maybe it's nice that he knew it was his last race. I don't know that he could soak it in as much as he could, or maybe he'd prefer if the band-aid were just ripped off and he were told at the other time. I don't know. Who knows what he would have preferred,
But then, you know, I was listening to some of the things that he was saying, and it's like, well, he came back to try and get that Red Bull seat so that he could be at the front fighting. And, you know, he's been battling for 10th places, and how long, you know, when you've had a career like his, how long do you want to be battling for 10th spots? And if that Red Bull seat is following the money over to Checo, then what's really the point?
Yeah.
So...
Yep, and obviously, speaking of Checo, another pretty poor weekend from him. I mean, where did he end up finishing?
10th. He got a point, I guess.
Yeah, from where he started.
One spot ahead of Franco, but obviously a much longer career and a much better car. Yeah. So I think out of Franco and Checo, one's a winner and one's a loser, and the winner's Franco in this one.
Yeah. And then Albon, the flip side of...
Is it fair to say loser? Because it wasn't really his fault. He was just unfortunate.
No, but he just was... He was down on his teammate all weekend, you know? And he was way in the back when he DNF'd anyway. He was in like P15 or P16. So really, it's just the difference between him and Franco, but really, no, it wasn't really his fault, I guess, what happened to the car. Yeah, and then I guess on to Coop's F1, Martin.
Coop's F1 this week. Points are picking up a little bit. Top scorer with 300 points this week, G DiMarco. I couldn't get that out. And Packers Unser Jr. with 290 points. Shout out to my dad, McNags. He was one of the biggest risers this week. He went up 36 places. At the front, I mean, R. Heatley is just putting on a Max Verstappen-esque performance. They are almost to over 200 points ahead of the next person. So they're going to be hard to catch as the season goes on. And then our own Mark has dropped down to third, whilst Idayu 201 up to second. So looks like they're scrapping for podium places. Like, R. Heatley's got to mess it up, I think, to not take the title.
Yeah.
Nick? Up to 31st, nice, up 16 places.
Nice.
Jason up 8 places to 46.
Late surge.
Yeah, I went down 2 spots. I'm still stuck in 115th, so. And now, on to next year.
I think Mark's the only one who's got a shot at getting on the podium there, but.
Yeah, I mean, he was fourth last year, and R. Heatley actually was third last year. So they're proving consistent year on year. So
if I had been safe, I would have been on the podium last year too. But
yeah, you sort of you went for it at the end and what could have been?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's really it. And what did we say the next race is?
Yeah, we've got a big America, big gap now. End of October. October 20th is the United States Grand Prix in Austin.
Nice. Well, that should be a good one. It's always a pretty exciting race.
Yeah, the drivers always have fun. I mean, unfortunately, Danny won't be there. That seems to be his favorite. He really gets into the whole, you know, riding a horse into the paddock and the cowboy hats and all that kind of stuff. We'll see who takes over that role.
Yeah, we don't have a home racer for this one either.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I guess he got Miami, but that was
it. We still got the one in Austin and Vegas to come. So,
yeah.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Singapore Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the United States Grand Prix. See you then.